Welcome to the Drive Time Show on Toledo's sports leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Oh, he fumbled the ball. Now he fumbled it in the air, and it's picked up by Michigan State at the 20, the 15, the 10, and he's going to score. No time left. You've got to be kidding me. That you could not write.
This 106.5 The Ticket sports exclusive is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Here we go. Snap. Spot. Kick on the way. It's no good. It's no good. It's no good. And it's over. The Lions have won it for the first time since 1991. They come to Green Bay and post an improbable victory.
Get ready. It's now Drive Time.
Feeds it Elliott, who shoots straight ahead and pushes it into the end zone. Ezekiel Elliott on a 9-yard touchdown run. And with just under 13 minutes to play in the fourth quarter, the lead has grown.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Hurry blocks the shot. Sent Gretzky in. 3-0 Los Angeles. Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, Stanley Cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Another edition of Drive Time. Glad to have you on board. You're tuned to ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Glad to have you on board. This show driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. We're at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. A lot of great deals. How about this one? $118 a month. 2016 Ram Crew Cab 4x4. Visit the Monroe Superstore today for deals like that and many, many more. 5:15, 5:20 tonight, we'll be talking to Bob Duff, Windsor Star columnist. By the way, and we're going to talk Kentucky Derby with Bob and, of course, the Brad Ausmus situation in Detroit. Bob's had stories on both of those. But the owner of Nyquist is a Windsor native, knows Bob very well. Bob's talked to him, written about him, met with him, had coffee with him many, many times. So we're going to talk a little Ausmus. We're going to talk a little Paul Redham. Again at 5:15, 5:20 tonight. By the way, everybody, this is the fourth anniversary tonight of Drive Time. A little 3.5-4 month experiment now, 4 years. Thanks for making your day with us, Drive Time, every night from 5 to 6 right here on The Ticket. Appreciate your support over the years. And, again, the support of the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik, and we're at the mothership tonight. Well, the big news, of course, is this. The status of Brad Ausmus, the Detroit Tiger manager. My take on this, a decision has already been made. The process goes on here, basically, while they get somebody in place. I mean, names that have been thrown around, of course, for a couple of years. Ryan Gardenhire, Alan Trammell's name has come up a couple of times. Lloyd McClendon, of course, the manager in Toledo. Jim Leland's name has come up quite a bit as well. This team has lost 6 straight. This was a manager, of course, that most people thought was out the door last year in August and September. My stance on this all the way back, everybody knows where I'm going with this. I have not been a Brad Ausmus fan. This has nothing to do with personality, nothing to do with character, nothing to do with this guy's experience as a player. I mean, he was a catcher in the major leagues for 18 seasons. Character guy, smart guy, different voice. People also talking about the age of the roster. What is this team? I mean, this is an aging team that really, for the most part, I think they're going to need something drastic. And you can't, basically, with the players they have under contract now, start firing the whole team. Now, that being said, trade deadline comes up. A lot of clubs have completely retooled. If you look at the Houston Astros, I know they're struggling this year. The Chicago White Sox have done some of that as well. The Kansas City Royals, maybe the best example, and there's many, many more. But a decision's going to have to be made here pretty quick in what direction the Tigers are going. They're 2 games under 500. It doesn't get any easier. They're in Washington tonight to take on the Washington Nationals. They're in first place. After the Washington trip, right up the road about 25 miles into Baltimore to take on the Baltimore Orioles. They're in first place as well. Tonight they see Steven Strasburg. That's not an easy thing. But here's, I just want to give you a little bit of a observation here, if I can. And this happened in the game yesterday. Now, Adrian Beltre, who has a reputation of being one of the great competitors in the game, he was on first base. There was a line drive to Victor Martinez, who was playing first base yesterday, you know, basically to get ready for the National League games that are coming up this week against the Washington Nationals. The line drive was snared by Victor Martinez, and Martinez, instead of going over and touching the bag, he wanted to play a little bit, a playful little grin, went over to tag Adrian Beltre. Beltre, almost in disgust, you know, looked into the center field area, turned his head away, did not even want to make contact with Victor Martinez, eye contact. That told me something right there. You have a competitor, a gamer like Adrian Beltre, not playing this silly little league stuff of, you know, come and tag me, chase me around a little bit. Was happy basically just to look the other way and walk off, get back and do his job. I think there's a little bit of this going on in Detroit, and I don't like it. I'm not saying that it's Brad Ausmus's fault, number one, but this is a team that's been sloppy now for 6 or 7 months. Detroit has the fourth highest payroll in baseball. The Dodgers lead at $246 million. The Yankees, that's a whole train wreck over there, at $229 million. The Red Sox at $200 million. The Detroit Tigers are at $197 million. And the first-place teams they play this weekend, Washington and Baltimore, each are at about $148 million. The White Sox, who lead, by the way, lead the Central Division, they're 16th at $118 million. The Cleveland Indians are 24th at $98. They beat the Tigers 6 times. I know it's early. I know it's May. Something's got to be done. My opinion right now is this. A decision has been made. It's just who they're going to bring in there and how they're going to structure it. And the name I keep hearing, and listen, this was given to me by a pretty good return here of Jim Leland back to the Detroit Tigers. Now, Leland, by the way, has already signed on to coach the World Baseball Classic. Of course, that comes up before next season. He's already named a coaching staff. I'm not sure how time-consuming that would be. Probably not a lot going on now. I know he's very, very loyal to Mike Ilitch. Mike Ilitch has done all he can do. The 86-year-old Detroit Tiger owner, he's in the Hall of Fame as an owner with the Red Wings, and for what he's done for baseball in Detroit to keep it on the map, he probably should be in the Hall of Fame there as well. But this is a team that's got to do something and do something quick. Went out and committed, of course, to a Justin Upton and left, threw money at everything. And for an owner's standpoint, from a fan's standpoint, again, he is a Hall of Famer when it comes to Mike Ilitch. I got a kick yesterday out of the quotes, of course, by a lot of the Tiger players. They all say the same thing. Well, it's, you know, it's not the manager's fault. It's our fault. Never once in my long association in sports have I ever heard a player come out and say, hey, listen, the manager's got to go. That doesn't necessarily mean that a lot of them aren't thinking that. I think they would embrace a Jim Leland. I think they would embrace a Lloyd McClendon in that Tiger locker room right now. My opinion is this. It's already over. They're crossing T's and dotting I's. I might be totally wrong on this, but believe me, I think that Mike Ilitch has run out of patience. This, again, and I say this only because last year survived the season by the skin of his teeth. And listen, Al Avila is under great pressure here. He came back and basically said, I kind of thought I got this Alexander Haig thing, you know, when Ronald Reagan was shot in the White House, of Alexander Haig storming into the press conference going, I have things under control here. I kind of got that impression from Al Avila when he took over, and I think he just wanted to show, listen, this is the main crux of this, but people that, listen, I'm going to make the decisions here. The media is not going to make the decisions here. And yes, Brad Ausmus is going to be back. I've always thought part of Dave Dombrowski's downfall with the Tigers is he sold Mike Ilitch Brad Ausmus. I'm not sure he agreed with it then. I've talked about this before. Mike Ilitch is basically his DNA when it comes to hiring bench coaches. When he has a veteran team that he feels has a chance to win, he's gone out and got the likes of a Scotty Bowman. I don't think he bought this from the beginning, and in my opinion, this thing might already be done. Tigers are 7 back of a Chicago White Sox. They're 2 back of Cleveland. They're 1 back of Kansas City. Now, how about to just insult to injury? Bobby Wilson comes up last night with the Tigers. This guy's been traded, by the way, 7 times. What a great job. It's kind of like a backup quarterback in football or a place kicker in football. You know, this guy basically can handle pitching staffs. The Tigers got him. Holiday out of options goes to Texas. Bobby Wilson comes to Detroit. McCann comes off the DL. Wilson goes back to Texas. He hits a grand slam yesterday. Verlander was outstanding yesterday. And the bullpen, for the most part, that's been pretty darn good, it imploded yesterday. It does not get easier. Again, Strasburg tonight in Washington. Again, I thought it was a telltale sign, this Victor Martinez, Adrian Beltre situation. But we're not playing in Texas, basically, was the look that Victor Martinez got. And that resonated with me, and I got to tell you, I think I'm the only one that's made that observation. But it was all over Beltre's face. You guys are playing. We're here to kick your rear ends, and Texas did exactly that. Texas was a team that was down 2-0 yesterday. They never gave up hope. Detroit, to me, is almost a club now that is searching for some kind of boost or some kind of karma to get things done. So we'll keep a close eye on this. You hate to see anybody lose their job. You know what? I hate to see a guy that's making $50,000 a year lose their job. I've never had a lot of sympathy with guys that have $15, $16, $18 million in the bank. And you know what? They're going to suffer a couple of days of humiliation. Their phone is going to ring. Brad Ausmus will be back in the game very, very soon. But for Tiger fans, for Mike Ilitch, maybe this is it. Maybe that window of another championship run going to the World Series is over in Detroit. You got to find out, and you got to find out quickly, and maybe by the trade deadline or by the end of this year, things start happening in trades and you start rebuilding. This is the last kick at the can for this group of Detroit. A lot of them under contract. Maybe you start the wheels spinning early here to rebuild this thing. It might not be as long and painful as you think. Houston, what was it, a 4 or 5 year deal? Kansas City, maybe a little bit longer than that. But you know what? Those clubs at times were close to playing 500. Detroit is under 500 right now on the road, 7 days against 2 first-place teams. Bob Duff joins us. We're going to talk Kentucky Derby. This is Drive Time. My name is Mike Miller. It's driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com. Back with Bob Duff after this.
Talking local sports, it's Drive Time on Toledo's sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Drive Time, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket, home of the Tigers, Lions, and the Ohio State Buckeyes. Glad to have you on board. Jim Cushlin is our producer and our engineer. TASS Electronics, weather updates, and, of course, a little bit of traffic coming up as well. Some sports updates. Traffic brought to you by SuperFitnessToledo.com. First 10, 15 minutes of the show tonight, we talked about Brad Ausmus. Detroit Tigers does not get any easier tonight. Strasburg against the Nationals on the road, then into Baltimore, a couple of first-place clubs with the Tigers reeling. We're going to touch on that with Bob Duff, who wrote a story on that. It was in the Windsor Star today as well, but got Bob in the line number one because of the stories he's written over the last week or so about the Kentucky Derby, and of course a local guy out of Windsor. He's moved west, we understand, I think anyways, Bob, but Paul Redham, congratulations. You know, it's a national story, a worldwide story actually, but we can kind of localize this just a little bit. 35 miles southwest of Windsor here. Paul Redham, Nyquist, congratulations. Doug O'Neill, the trainer. Hello, Robert, how are you?
I'm well, Mike, and you?
Good. Thank you very much for coming on. Tell me a little bit about Paul Redham. And listen, this is a high-stakes sport, number one, a Kentucky Derby, a Windsor guy. I'm nosy. How'd he make his money? How did he get into the horse-based racing business? And we'll get into the Nyquist thing and the Red Wings, which is another segue, which, of course, you cover as well. But just a little background on Paul Redham and, of course, Nyquist winning, now 8-0, never been beaten, winning the Kentucky Derby on Saturday.
Well, he's a man who grew up in Windsor and never really was a horse racing guy with no horse racing background in his family. But when he was in high school, one of his buddies was into the horse racing game and actually worked as a groom out at Windsor Raceway and talked him into going to the track one afternoon, and he got hooked, and the rest, as they say, is history. Now, horse racing is a sport filled with characters, and he's certainly one of them. This is a guy who has a PhD in philosophy, if you can believe it. He got his BA in Windsor. He went up to the University of Toronto to do his master's and then did his PhD at USC, and that's where he lives now in California. He moved there in 1979, but he still considers Windsor his home, and he's here every year to visit family, and he used to come up more frequently when Windsor Raceway was going because he had harness horses that raced there as well. But he's a guy that made his money. He, after graduating with his PhD in philosophy, actually taught philosophy at University in California for a while. And one morning said he just had an epiphany, like, I don't want to do this the rest of my life. And his father was in the banking industry, and he went to work for his father and eventually started the first internet mortgage company called Ditech. And sold that to General Motors eventually for a reported $250 million. So, yeah, he's got a little bit of money.
No, I love those kind of stories. That's a great background and a guy that obviously was thinking and going in the right direction. Plus, I love that. I don't want to do this the rest of my life, and got into something and saw the interview, and you've interviewed, and I'm sure Nolan, a guy that's got a lot of passion, and believe me, I watched the race. It's a good looking horse, I'll tell you that much. I even Googled some of the old races that Secretariat ran, which almost brings, at Belmont, brings a lump to my throat every time I see that race. But tell me about the horse Nyquist a little bit. 8-0. Tell me about moving forward. I know it's a prohibitive favorite already, moving into the Preakness in a couple of weeks. Number one, just for the folks, Bob, that don't know the story, and I think everybody who listens to this show might, but just as a refresher course, talk about the horse, if you could, number one, and number two, the Nyquist naming.
Well, the horse is a fascinating story. And before he got his name, Doug O'Neill, you mentioned, is the trainer. His brother, Dennis, is kind of their head scout, so to speak. He's the guy that goes to the sale and checks out the yearlings and decides which ones they're going to buy. And Paul Redham told me at the sale where they bought Nyquist, Uncle Mo is the sire, and Uncle Mo has been a very prominent sire in the thoroughbred racing industry, and there were two Uncle Mo yearlings at this sale, and everybody was hot to trot on the one Uncle Mo. And Dennis O'Neill said to Paul Redham and Doug O'Neill that, no, you want the other one, which was Nyquist. And they paid $400,000, which Paul Redham admitted was a little more than he likes to spend on an unproven horse. It's, you know, when you buy a yearling, you don't even know for sure they're going to make it to the racetrack. So it's a risky proposition no matter what you're paying. But they put out $400,000 for this horse because Dennis O'Neill, who has a track record, he's kind of the Hawk and Anderson of horse racing. He finds these horses that other people overlook, and the horse that nearly won the Triple Crown for Redham in 2012, I'll Have Another, was another Dennis O'Neill find. So they tend to listen when he says, you know, he's kind of like E.F. Hutton. When he says that's the horse, they listen and they go get that horse. And certainly this one, you know, and now they say 8-0, $4.5 million in the bank. I mean, he certainly repaid them handsomely.
Well, you know, that going into the Kentucky Derby, he had carded more money, that $4.5 million, than any course, or any horse, rather, that started the Kentucky Derby. The Nyquist, basically, you know, I guess Paul's a hockey fan, and Doug O'Neill's from Michigan. That's a connection there.
And it goes beyond that. Paul Redham is a devout Detroit Red Wings fan. This is a guy who goes back. He's 60 years old. He'll tell you about the 1966 final against the Canadiens and how heartbroken he was when his dad got two tickets to Game 6 at Olympia and took his mom instead of him. He said he didn't speak to his dad for a long time after that. But he is a guy that, he was at Joe Louis in 97 when they won the Cup. He went to New Jersey in 95 when they played in the finals. He was there in Colorado the night that Claude Lemieux smashed Chris Draper's face in. He flew to Washington for the 98 finals. He was there in 2008 when they won it again in Pittsburgh. And this is a guy, he's a hardcore Red Wings fan, and he's named many horses over the years, both standardbreds and thoroughbreds, after Red Wings players. There's been a Fedorov, there's been a Zetterberg, there's been a Cronwall, there's a Mrazek out there right now, and Nyquist is the first one that's become a star. All the others, he's always been embarrassed that the others have never really amounted to anything. But this one, is a colossal star in the sport. Right now he's the number one horse in the sport.
Tell me a little bit about Pimlico and Baltimore. As I mentioned, again, Bob Duff joins us, a Windsor star. This is Drive Time. Bob, by the way, we only have eight list guests on. Tonight is our fourth anniversary of Drive Time, driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalikamer, coming to you tonight for the beautiful showroom. And thanks for coming on. Prohibitive favorite in Baltimore, Pimlico. Difference, horse people know this. Difference in the Derby as opposed to... opposed to Pimlico, the Preakness Stakes in Baltimore.
Well, the Derby is always a bit of a scary race because everybody wants to say they had a Derby horse, so that's why there's 20 horses in the Derby every year, which is the maximum allowed. And so the danger and the fear always is the draw at the Derby because there's so much traffic leaving that gate that you can be out of the race when it starts if you don't get a good jump. And Nyquist, if you saw the race, I'm sure you did, got the perfect trip. I mean, Mario Gutierrez doesn't get the kind of recognition that some of the other top jockeys in thoroughbred racing do, but when you watch this guy ride a top horse, he just is magnificent. And, you go to Pimlico, and most of those horses will be gone. You'll probably have no more than 7 or 8, I would guess. Maybe, if there's more than 10 or 11, I'd be surprised. That'll go to Pimlico that were in the Derby or else other horses that skip the Derby that'll give it a shot in Baltimore. It'll be a much smaller field, which I think plays to Nyquist's advantage. He's a horse that, and the people who have the horse tell me that this horse is one of the most intelligent horses they've ever had. It's not as much what they do with him in a race. He figures it out on his own, they tell me, and he knows when it's time to go. And there was a moment there in the Derby where I thought, uh-oh, he dropped back briefly to third at the final turn, and I thought, is he out of gas? And it was just the horse waiting. He knew it wasn't his time yet, and they came out of that turn, and then he hit the jets, and he was gone. And they tell me, whatever they ask this horse to do, he's okay with it. Some horses like to run on the front. Some horses like to come from off the pace. If you want him to sit at the back, he'll sit at the back. If you want him to take the lead out of the gate, he'll take the lead out of the gate. Whatever way you want him to race, he'll do it. And he's won in just about every circumstance. He's had the rail, which is usually a death knell in thoroughbred racing,
right
on the rail. And he's won handsomely from there. He's just won in every fashion you could imagine. Bad track, bad post position. He's come off the pace. He's taken the lead and held them off. I don't see him losing at Pimlico. The Belmont's a different story. It's a longer race. It's kind of a war of attrition, and you don't know, until you get there. But I would say certainly I think we're going to see Nyquist going to the Belmont looking to win the Triple Crown.
Bob, you and I run in the same circle, so I know you're going to understand this question a little bit. Was Paul Redham, was he hanging around the Windsor Raceway there when, in my opinion, the toughest man ever to play the game, John Ferguson, was a general manager of Windsor Raceway?
No, he was already gone to California before John. John came in toward the late 80s, and Paul, he would have been there periodically to see his horses, but he wasn't a Windsor resident anymore at that point. But John not being a a Detroit Red Wing, and especially being a Canadian, I don't think Paul would have been very fond of him. I'll tell you a funny story. When Al Havanother was going for the Triple Crown, Paul got a good luck text from Joel Quenneville, the coach of the Blackhawks, who's also from Windsor, and who also owns some Thoroughbreds. And Paul sent him a text back saying, well, thanks for the best wishes, Joel, but I'm still a Red Wings fan.
Oh, that's good stuff. It is good stuff. Hey, you mentioned something here with Paul Redham. Of course, was at the 1995 Stanley Cup, Devils, and, of course, the Detroit Red Wings, and I was fortunate enough to call that whole series. Speaking of a horseman, the press box, you might have been there at the old Meadowlands in New Jersey. The press box and the broadcast locations were right in the middle of the seats in New Jersey. You might have worked from the same area that I broadcast from. But another Windsor legend, John Campbell and his wife, had season tickets right in front of where I broadcast and got to know John pretty well. I think he was the winningest harness racer in the history of the sport. Did you ever run into to John in any of your travels?
Oh, many times I've done stories on John. In fact, at the 95 finals, I did a story on John. He was probably the only guy from Windsor who wasn't cheering for the Red Wings because he was such a Devils fan. I mean, he would actually, on some nights when he had, he had rides at the Meadowlands and the Devils were in the playoffs, he would literally jog his horse over to the rink and have somebody watch the horse so he could ride in and catch a little bit of the game before he had the race.
I never heard that, but I know he was close to a lot of the players. John McClain, for sure, for one. John used to tell me some stories about that as well. Hey, great stuff, and hats off to a Windsor guy, Paul Redham, and a Michigan guy, Doug O'Neill, for their win at the Kentucky Derby. Hey, before I let you go, Brad Ausmus, obviously in the crosshairs, was the headline. My thoughts on this, Bob, and I think it's done. I mean, I think Mike Ilitch has already made up his mind. It's just a matter of who they're going to get in there for the rest of the year. I mean, names like Gardenhire, Trammell, McClendon, Leland's name has come up quite a bit as well. So this is my thoughts. You got to do something drastic here. I saw a play yesterday, and I'll share this with you, and this kind of reiterated what I've been thinking. I know it's an overused term, playing the game the right way, but Adrian Beltre was on first base yesterday and hit a line drive to the first baseman, Victor Martinez, who basically caught it. Beltre had no chance to get back to double him off. And for some playful reason, I know it's a long year, you know, Victor Martinez wanted to kind of chase it down and tag him and smile a little bit. You know, Adrian Beltre wanted no part of that. He looked the other way, looked in the center field, kind of with a snarl on his face, and it kind of told me, we're not playing here in Texas. You know, we're out here, we're grinding, and that was telltale. And this is not an indictment of Victor Martinez, and it's maybe not even an indictment of Brad Ausmus. But I'm convinced, and I know this is an overused term, they need a different voice, and they need one quick. I think they've been sloppy for their last 50, 60, 70 games.
Yeah, I don't know whether they have a clubhouse leader type of guy in that Detroit clubhouse right now. I mean, the guys who are the stars on that team are not the kind of guys that are going to step up and say something or that. They're kind of guys who keep to themselves. And probably the only guy that's really vocal is Ian Kinsler. And, you know, he hasn't been there that long, so you wonder how much, you know, compared to guys like Martinez and Cabrera, who played for the team for years, how much gravitas he would carry if he were trying to, you know, set the tone. But you just wonder if that's not a factor, too. I mean, It's easy to blame Ausmus for everything, and I thought it was a questionable hire when you had a team that was on the cusp of winning it all and you bring in a manager with zero experience. I just thought it was really not a wise hire. You know, they kind of got caught. It was the wrong year. There was really nobody available. And, you know, Francona went to Cleveland the year before. Joe Maddon, I think, the next year went to the Cubs. I mean, those are two guys you would have loved to have had. And they just kind of got caught in no man's land where there wasn't really a viable candidate the year that Jim Leland decided to retire. And I just think, you know, Brad's a really good guy. He's not a guy who's hard not to like if you get to know him, but I just don't think that, you know, for a team that was that close to winning at all, it was the right move.
No, I don't either, and I mentioned this early in the show. Mike Ilitch had a stacked team in Detroit, and Jimmy Devolano went out and got Scotty Bowman. So, I mean, this is a guy that basically strayed from his own philosophy, is a proven vet. Listen, this is not an indictment on Brad Ausmus's character, and you're exactly right. You can't blame all this on Brad Ausmus, but you got to do something. You're not going to get rid of the whole ball club in May, and as I mentioned, it doesn't get any easier tonight with Strasburg going with the Nationals. Hey, before I let you go, Washington and Pittsburgh, they're still going at it. St. Louis and Dallas going at it. Tampa, they send the New York Islanders home. Nashville and San Jose, they play tonight as well. Any thoughts on the Stanley Cup playoffs going on before I let you go? A guy, by the way, who has authored, I don't even know if I can count that high, how many hockey books, and I've read all of them. Tell me, mainly because the complimentary copies you sent me, Bob, thanks a lot. Any thoughts on the Stanley Cup playoffs before I let you go?
I pick Washington to win it all at the start, and I'll stay with them until they're gone. I still think they can win that series. I think they've been the better team in the series. They just haven't had, until the last game, really haven't had much luck. And now, this is the big game for them, Game 6. If they can win in Pittsburgh in Game 6, then you got to like them at home in Game 7.
Robert, thanks a lot. Always a pleasure to have you on. Coming up against a hard break. I'll see you soon. Great talking with you as always. Appreciate it.
Always my pleasure, Mike.
Bob Duff, Windsor Star columnist, has covered this Kentucky Derby ownership group, of course, again. What a great story. Local, national, world story, not too far from right here. Paul Redham, the owner of NyQuest. I thought an interesting point there is he's named some other Red Wings over the years. Fedorov and Zetterberg, and he's got a horse now, Mrazek. So we'll keep a close eye on those as well. Hard break coming up. This is Drive Time. My name is Mike Miller. Glad to have you on board. It's driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. Back with more after this. All right, everybody, welcome back to Drive Time, fourth anniversary show here from the Superstore tonight. Glad to have you on board, everybody. Special thanks to Bob Duff, Windsor Star columnist for a long time, author of many, many hockey books, by the way, who filled me in that NyQuest, the Low Payment King, joins us now, isn't the only horse he's bought that's named after a Red Wing. Mrazek, Zetterberg, mm-hmm. Fedorov, there's been a couple down the road, but certainly NyQuest is the one with an 8-0 record coming off a Kentucky Derby win. On this date, by the way, the Low Payment King, besides our fourth anniversary, Steve Yzerman's birthday, Tony Gwynn's birthday, and I got to localize this. I'm going to age myself here a little bit. One of the great NBA players ever to come out of this area, former Piston, New York Knick, Howard Butch Komize, who played at Bowling Green, along with a big center by the name of Nate Thurman. The two dominant centers in that era were Wilt Chamberlain and Nate Thurman, maybe three, obviously, with Bill Russell. But their birthday is today. So we celebrate our fourth anniversary as maybe one of the best hitters of all time. Tony Gwynn and Steve Yzerman celebrate their birthdays. Good to see you. How are you?
Happy anniversary, Michael.
Thank
great job.
Thank you very buddy. Much. No, thank you for your hospitality and your partnership, and it's been a lot of fun. And you know what? I think it was about a three-month experiment that's gone again, as we say, 4 years. So I'm around town. I was around town today. I get all sorts of positive comments, not only about the Superstore, but the show. So thanks a lot. Big weekend of sports. Of course, the big topic has been Brad Ausmus. I said it on this show. Nobody's indicting this guy's character. Nobody's saying that he's not a good baseball
right.
man. He'll get a job here in the next couple of weeks, but something's got to be done. Mike Ilitch is 86, throwing money at a team that basically is not going in the right direction in a lot of different reasons.
And, Mike, they're underdogs in all three games in Washington this week, tonight, tomorrow, and Wednesday. And I'm really looking forward to that Wednesday matchup. When it's going to be Jordan Zimmermann going against his old ball club, the Washington Nationals, and former Tiger Max Scherzer on Wednesday.
Who got lit up his last time, by the way. Scherzer and the Cubs over the weekend. I turned it on. I think he allowed four or five home runs in a game. So,
but the Cubs are hot.
Yeah, the Cubs are playing great.
And that's the manager I really wish we would have gotten.
Well, you know what? Bob Duff just said that. He goes, kind of some bad luck there. And Bob made a great point. Tigers were in the market for a manager. Some guys they wanted, probably, and Madden wasn't available.
Right.
Gardenhire at the time wanted to take a year off.
Yep.
And again, not an indictment of Ausmus, but I don't know what else you do.
I think Joe Madden would have been unbelievable with this club. I thought he'd been a great fit for this club a few years ago.
Yeah, the other side of this, again, talking to the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik, Jim Cushlin is back at the studios. Bob Duff brought this up, and he's either at Comerica Park, Joe Louis Arena, down in Louisville, of course, at the Derby. He's everywhere. There's no clubhouse leader. You mentioned leadership. The Tigers, really, they just don't have that guy. Maybe Kinsler a little bit. I mentioned this earlier, and I know my broadcast location is close to your office here. We try not to disturb you too much when you're in there toiling away. But I thought it was such a telltale small thing that I noticed yesterday is when this line drive to Victor Martinez went to double off Beltre. Victor could have, you know, stepped on the bag. And only because it was Adrian Beltre, who's got a reputation of being one miserable SOB and is the leader in that clubhouse. Great with his teammates, but you better be grinding 24-7. And Victor tried to, you know, chase him. And Adrian Beltre, well, I don't play that game. I'm out. I'm going to get my glove and go back to third base. A little casual, I think, this Detroit team right now.
And some of the people that I know that are inside the clubhouse up there say that the camaraderie's not there. Guys aren't showing up early. Other things, guys that when they're having lunch or having pregame aren't sitting together. They're sitting at their own tables on cell phones, and tweeting, and not talking to each other. Lack of camaraderie that can over a 162 game season. That's, you know, we've talked about locker room guys before, Mike. In every sport, and these guys in these winning teams, they can say, oh, that's a guy, he doesn't score a lot of goals or whatever, but he's great in the locker room, right?
Absolutely.
He does all the other things, and you got to have those guys, and you got to have that camaraderie, and the locker room's a big deal, man. When you're with these guys basically almost year-round, right, it's a big deal. And if we don't have it, which obviously we don't, and you can see it by all the crazy errors we're doing and everything else.
Missing cutoff, man, and not hustling. It's not there.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't about losing. It's how they're playing.
Yeah.
That, to me, and you're right. And
we got the hit. The crazy thing is we got the hitters. I mean, we have hitters. We have guys that are, you know, leading the league in various categories of hitting, but we're not winning.
Right.
That's a problem.
It is a problem. Not winning, that's a problem.
Yeah, right.
And this doesn't surprise me. It's the first I've heard this about this locker room thing. Yeah. I felt it for a long time. That's where something's got to be done. And again, it is an indictment of Brad Ausmus. That is his job, and I don't know who it would be. I don't know if there's an instant fix on this, but the window's closing on Mike Ilitch. My thought, it's done already. I mean, I think it's done. I just think they're trying to cross some T's and dot some I's of exactly who they want in there, who's available. Are they going to do it for just this year, then move ahead? You know, I wouldn't even mind seeing an Alan Trammell in there a little bit. This is a guy that was stuck with a team that was so bad when he managed here before. It's going to be interesting. It'll be interesting to watch as well. We talked about our fourth anniversary. I got cleared from all the powers to be in the city of Sylvania, Tam O'Shanter. On the 18th of Wednesday night, we're going to be here for 2 hours. As you celebrate, and congratulations, your 50th anniversary, your family here at the Monroe Superstore. That is a big deal. A lot of people go into business. A lot of them find out, you know, it's not as easy as they think, and sayonara after a year and a half, they're working again for somebody else.
It's not easy, but we're getting hats off to my entire family. My father, Ralph Sr., that started this deal back in 1966, and my brother, JP, and our entire five-star team. Because it wasn't, you know, we wouldn't be here, Mike, today if it wasn't for our fantastic team that we've had. We have like, what, 18 people that have been here for 18 years or more right now. And our fantastic group of customers, loyal customers that we've had throughout the years. It makes a big difference. And obviously working with great customers makes it a lot of fun, too. So it's very exciting. We're very proud and excited to be celebrating our 50th anniversary, and we really plan on doing it all year long. So, because you only turn 50 once. So.
No, I can vouch to with that. Believe me. Hey, I know you're going to know this, and I don't want to put you in the spot if you don't. But I'm convinced you would know this. I was watching had something on preparing for this show about 2:30 today, and that Markham auto auction was on.
Yeah.
And I mean,
Meekum auto auction.
Was it Meekum?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And I'm trying to think what I was watching. Something ended on one of the sports channels. But anyways, this came on. And they had a 1970 Challenger on there, and the guy went off on about a two-minute thing on the color purple, and I thought it was very catchy. What was the name?
Plum Crazy. Plum Crazy.
And they pulled it out, and I said, wow.
My favorite color.
Was it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he pulled it out, and he goes, here comes this 1970 Challenger Plum Crazy. Well, I Googled it right away. Was he just saying that? No, that's what it was known as.
That's the color. I've ordered three Challengers here, Mike, to get them built as Superbirds, and every time I build those things and they come off the truck, one of my guys sells them off the truck before I can even get it customized, because I want to build one to make it look like a 71 Superbird and then keep it in my family forever. So that's still on my bucket list to do that.
And I understand you can't get them. You go on a waiting list, correct?
Right. Oh yeah.
No doubt about it.
Plum Crazy's out again. So they built them for a little while, and now they're out again. But I assume, you know, it's a popular color. I'm sure it'll be back here in a couple of years. So.
NHL thoughts? Anything going on there that you'd like to touch on?
Sure. First of all, the games are just so damn. The guys are just so darn fast. The speed of the game is it's as fast as it's ever been. Obviously, I mean. It's been phenomenal. Overtimes. I mean, just we had, look at how many overtime games we had last week. It was absolutely phenomenal.
No, it's a great time of the year. And you're right. You know, you touch on something here. Anytime I talk to an old timer that played in the old timer now 80s or the 90s, and you know, you always ask the question, what do you think about today's game? They just say the same thing. They shake their couldn't play, wouldn't have had a chance.
Yeah.
My old color partner in New Jersey, Randy Velischek, who played about 6 years of defense in the National Hockey League for Minnesota and for Lou at Providence College, and at, you know, Randy, he just would, I'd look over at him during the game, he'd just shake his head. We go to a commercial break, and his comment would be, I'd have no chance playing today.
Yeah.
He says, absolutely none. It's just a whole different deal,
yeah.
You know.
And, of course, these guys are... You know, all these athletes today are so much better conditioned than any of the guys were from, you know, 15, 20 years ago, really. I don't say any, but 90% of the guys. You know, just technology and everything else. I also, speaking of athletes, I want to give a shout-out to the Invictus Games going on down in Orlando by our stores in Orlando. And it's all the there's 14 countries there represented in like a little mini Olympic Games. And again, but it's all these guys are veterans, and they're all, it's Paralympic Games, and you're talking about special people. What a special group of people that is, competing down in Orlando in the Invictus Games. So I encourage everybody, check it out. It's on TV, it's online. Check it out, because these people are special athletes that are competing out there. It's really special.
Well said. All right, everybody. That's the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. Glad to have you on board. We'll do it again tomorrow right from here at the Superstore at 5 o'clock. Jim Cushlin back at the studios. Like to welcome Auto Glass Masters back to Drive Time. My name is Mike Millett. Talk to you tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Thanks to Bob Duff. Good night, everybody.